God to you. It's more than just the 4th. It's Independence Day. That's why it's significant. We are amazingly blessed, aren't we? To have the freedoms that we do in this country. Wow. But it doesn't come free, as you know. So let us remember those who have sacrificed so much. Not just their lives, families who have sacrificed so that we can be amazingly blessed. Live in a free land. So we're grateful. We're grateful to God for allowing us to enjoy the freedoms, and we're grateful for those who made it possible. So let's remember it. And we're still at war, people. We have men and women still fighting. And so continue to remember those guys too, please. As we continue our study in Romans, Romans chapter 16, if you'll turn with me there this morning. I thought we'd be done with this book by now. I won't be with you for a couple weeks. I'll be in Kenya on the mission trip to Africa there, but kind of thought maybe we'd be done by now, but we'll finish up quickly when we get back. Then God's leading me to the book of Matthew. So pray for me as I begin studying the book of Matthew even now to properly preach from that gospel. So we'll see what the life of Jesus is all about. I'm excited. Would you stand with me as we read our text this morning, Romans chapter 16, verse 16. It's not a long text this morning, but one I didn't want to just gloss over. I just tell you what, love God's Word, thirsty for it, and sometimes I just want to squeeze every drop out of it like a sponge, you know, a thirsty guy getting every drop of liquid water out of the sponge. So today we're going to do some sponge squeezing, okay? Romans chapter 16, if you'll follow along with me, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, this should be good, shouldn't it? Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the freedom that we enjoy. You have greatly blessed us, blessed this country, and we thank you for it. We're grateful to the men and women who have sacrificed their very lives, the families that have given up so much over the years and generation after generation after generation, so that we can meet here freely and assemble together like-minded believers, same faith, same God, and worship you. Amazingly blessed. Thank you, Father, and thank you for their sacrifices. And Father, as we pause to remember, I ask that you would bless those families. And bless the men and women even now who are in harm's way, promoting freedom. That innate, natural desire that you gave us. Father, we here still enjoy it. Many others in the world do not. So we pray for our men and women in the military as they fight. And they sacrifice, and they serve, and they suffer, and they risk their lives for freedom. Father, thank you for this church, how you blessed it, blessed this congregation. And as we pause to take some time to study your word, I ask that your Spirit will convict us, teach us. Father, we're not there yet. You're not done with us yet. We still have a lot to learn, a lot to grow. We ask that you will today teach us. Father, our heart's desire is to be like Christ. And we fail so often. So Father, we commit this time to you. You would speak to our hearts. We are yours, Father God. And we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hola, ¿qué pasa? Bonjour. Niho. Jambo Buana, Habari Yako. Greetings come in a variety of flavors and variety of ways. Some parts of the country, some parts of the world, greetings are very important. Different cultures have different ways of greeting people, don't they? Not just verbally. Some parts of Asia, you know, you might get a bow, right? Some parts of Africa, at least Eastern Africa, I remember going to Tanzania, they taught how to greet one another. You stick out your right hand to shake with your left hand, you place it on your forearm of your right arm as you shake, and you bow just a little bit with your head. Originally, that was because nobody trusted each other. And when you greeted one another, you wanted to make sure that they didn't have a weapon in their hand. That they came in peace and they were greeting you unarmed. And then as the tradition grew, it became just a sign of respect. You know, some parts of Europe, they greet people a little differently, don't they? They do that kind of, you ever seen that double head bob thing? You know, cheek to cheek thing? So you see that happening? We don't do that much here, do we? In fact, even if you look at our country and different parts of the United States, greetings are different. Some parts, you'll get a hello, how you doing? Other parts of the country, you might get a howdy, neighbor. Some urban parts, maybe you get the little head nod, what's up? What's happening? Whatever they say nowadays. Some parts of the country, you don't get anything, do you? I remember the first time I went to New York City. Not a lot of howdies going on there in the streets, are they? It's just their culture, you know? You walk by, crowded and down the streets. You don't even look at anybody. You're not even allowed to look at somebody, much less say, how are you? That's right. Sometimes, you know, we just, greetings aren't that big a deal in the States, in general. Some parts of the world, greetings are a huge deal, a big deal. Back in Bible times, like Middle Eastern, some Middle Eastern countries, they actually embrace each other. And they give each other a hug, or they give each other a kiss, maybe on a cheek or a forehead. And so it was back in the Old Testament days, the Bible times. They would embrace each other. They would hug each other. Greetings were a big thing. Sign of respect, sign of welcoming. And they would kiss each other on the cheek, maybe, or even on the forehead. So with that background, maybe we can address Romans 16:16. So let's read it again together. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What do you think when you first read that? I can tell you what I thought the first time I saw this in Scripture. What kind of cult is this? What kind of wacky church is this? Greeting each other with the holy kiss thing. And we don't do that much here, do we? In fact, not at this church. We don't ever do that. I haven't seen, and I'm not really telling you to, but we'll see what God's Word says about it. Holy kiss. What's up with that? Well, let's look. It's not the first time greet one another with a holy kiss has been mentioned in Scripture. You might be surprised. Paul uses it again in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 20. To greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Second time he writes a letter, ends the letter to the church at Corinth. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Even Peter, 1 Peter 5:14, even Peter, the Apostle Peter, alludes to the same thing as a kiss of love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. It's a cultural thing. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is leaving, and the elders of the church at Ephesus go to greet him and to say goodbye to him, and they kiss him. As they grieve, because it's probably the last time they see him, because he's heading to Jerusalem. And they know there's a plot to kill him in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 7, it's interesting. Jesus is staying at a man's house, actually a Pharisee's house, and he comes into the house, and they have this big, long conversation, and some events happen, and at the end of it, Jesus actually admonishes this guy for not greeting him with a kiss, implying that it's a sign of respect and welcoming. So we see that this Old Testament Jewish tradition of welcoming each other with a warm embrace or sign of endearment, kiss on the cheek or a kiss on the forehead. That was a tradition back then, a cultural thing back then. But the New Testament believers, they continued the tradition. These guys, many of the New Testament Christians in the early church were Jews. That's where the church started, Jerusalem. They were Jewish. And they left their family, their national religion, and converted to Christianity. Doesn't sound like much at first pass. I mean, people pick religion, it's like some buffet, aren't it, these days in this culture. But it was a big deal back then. In fact, Jewish folks converted to Christ at the sake of severing permanently family ties. Does that make sense? Let's turn to Matthew and see. Matthew chapter 10. So Jews came to Christ. They did so at a high price. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. This is Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He explains, verse 35. 4. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his, what? His household. He's talking to those Jewish disciples following him. You come to me, you convert to Christ, you give up your family, traditional, national faith at a cost. And many of these Jewish converts to Christianity were all throughout the known world. The Greeks originally were dispersed and scattered from Alexander the Great. And generations have gone by now, and these Jews are in the various cities throughout the known world. Now it's the Roman Empire. Romans invaded and take over. And even in the church at Rome, there's a large population in that church of Jews. And Jewish converts converted to Christ at the sake of permanently severing family ties. Had nothing to do with them. The family just had nothing to do with them. In fact, the term "you're dead to me" came from that. Families would say, "Fred, you're going to follow Christ?" They would turn their back, literally, and say, "You're dead to us. You no longer exist. There's no family to go home to. No holidays to celebrate with family. No families to celebrate holidays with. No warm, endearing, affectionate greetings anymore from my family." And that's the situation. And so the early church, these Jews, all they had was each other. All they had was each other, were each other. Imagine that for a church. And so they continued the tradition of embracing and kissing on the cheek or the forehead, or greeting one another with a kiss. And as they continued that, it was the only place they could get that warm welcome. We all like to be welcome, don't we? Want to go into a place and have people embrace you, accept you, be endearing to each other. And so for these Jewish converts to Christianity, this was the only place they were getting that. And so as they continued this tradition of greeting one another, it became known as a holy kiss. A holy kiss. They continued the greeting tradition, called it a holy kiss. It became not only a sign of respect and honor, but of acceptance. This is one place. Your church family is one place you can go and be accepted. Because you have severed your family ties. You're an outcast. In the workplace, with your family, but not here. Not at church. You're one of us. So what's God telling us back in Romans chapter 16? In verse 16. Is he telling us to greet one another with a kiss? Is that going to be the new tradition? You know, some cults, they have secret handshakes and stuff. Is that what we're to do now? We're going to do the head bobbing thing now? What's God telling us? First of all, God's telling us to greet one another. The mere fact is we're to greet one another. Even in our culture, when it's not that big a deal, and we may have this, you know, we're used to that insincere, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? Do we really expect to hear anything but fine, thanks, how are you? God's telling us to accept one another, to greet one another, not to ignore one another. Life's tough. We don't know what we've been through all week long. Family, work, neighbors, whatever. And we're to come together. And we're to greet one another, pay attention to one another. That's what God's telling us to do. Secondly, is to accept one another. We're family. Accept one another in a warm, endearing way. It's not rocket science, is it? We're to make one another feel like part of the family, regardless of our background, regardless of where we're coming from, regardless of what we look like. And you know, that's one thing this church has done well. Among many things, the church has done well, but extraordinarily well. It sticks out to people. I talk to a lot of people who come and visit. And there are a lot of folks here who go out of their way to make people feel welcome, truly, sincerely welcome, like a family. And new members come, and they feel embraced and accepted and welcome. We do a great job at that. So let's continue to do that. As we grow, as God blesses, and as more people come, regardless of where they come from, what they look like, let's continue to embrace them and welcome them and greet them and bring them into the family. So what else does God expect from us? What do we do with one another? Greet them? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Paul's told us a handful of things to do with one another. What do we do with one another? Romans 12:10 tells us a couple of things. So I thought it would be a good time to review the one another's in Romans. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. God expects us to be devoted to one another. That's commitment. To be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Are we devoted? Is that what kind of family we are? Committed family? Let's keep reading verse 10 of chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Honor one another. Be devoted to one another and honor one another. Giving preference and to yielding to someone else. Stay in chapter 12. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Be of the same mind toward one another. Treat everybody the same. Value everyone the same. That's the picture of the family there. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. In unity. Same mind toward one another. Same value. Chapter 13, verse 8. You with me? Chapter 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. We know this, don't we? God expects us to be devoted to one another, to honor one another, to be unified with one another, same mind toward one another, and to love one another. That's a tough one, isn't it? Because sometimes we just don't like each other, do we? God says to love one another. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the differences. Love one another. Even if you don't like them, love them. There is a difference, you know. What else? Chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. The picture of sensitivity. We spent a long time on chapter 14, didn't we? Personal convictions. As each of us strives to please God, we're not to be critical of those decisions. We're not talking about decisions between sin and not sin. We're talking about those personal convictions, decisions to please God, good, better, best decisions. And we may not all see eye to eye on the same good, better, best, those personal convictions, as we all seek to please God. And Paul and God is telling us through Paul to be sensitive to that. That's a picture of the church family, devoted to one another, honoring one another, unified, the same mind toward one another, valuing each other the same, love each other, and be sensitive. Chapter 14, verse 19. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. The building up of one another. God expects us to build one another up, to edify, encourage. It's not insincere flattery. It's helping people grow. That's the family of God. That's the expectation of what we're to do with one another. Be devoted to each other, honor each other, value each other the same, love each other. Be sensitive to each other as we try to do what God pleases us. We formulate those personal convictions and build each other up. Edify one another. Chapter 15, verse 5. We see another, one another. Verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you. We need God's help on this one. He's got to grant it to us. To be of the same mind, not toward one another now, with one another. That's a little different unity, isn't it? Same mind towards one another. That's the valuing each other in context. Same mind with one another. That's unity. That's us all rowing the boat together in the same direction. As we strive to please God, as we strive to be obedient to God, we know that's the direction. We just have to put our paddle in, start rowing together with each other. Same mind with each other. That's what a family of God looks like. That's what we do with one another. Chapter 15, verse 14. I'm almost done, so bear with me. Chapter 15, verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. To admonish one another. It's a little different than edifying, isn't it? Admonishing is helping us get back on the right track. Remember the analogy of the Hot Wheels track? Life comes at you, and sometimes you do loop-de-loops just like a Hot Wheel. If you ever play with Hot Wheels, you know that sometimes that wheel just gets right there on that little orange groove of that track. Slows it down, bogs it down. And somebody's got to come along and help the car get back on the right track so we can get back up to speed. And that's a picture of it. That's a picture of admonishing. And that's what God expects us to do with one another. Be devoted, committed in love to one another and honor each other. Give each other preferences over ourselves. And value each other. Love each other. Be sensitive to each other. And build each other up. Edify each other. And row in the same direction. And admonish one another. And then that brings us to chapter 16, verse 16. Greet one another in a warm, welcoming, endearing manner. Like they're part of the family. If we follow that, if we simply follow just the one another's here in Romans, man, can you imagine what kind of church it would be? What kind of church family this would be? You see the picture it paints? Being devoted and honoring, and valuing and loving and being sensitive, caring, encouraging and edifying, and even loving enough to admonish, to help each other get back on the right track, stay on the right track. What a picture, what a biblical church looks like, a church family. And it can be ours. It can be the picture of this church too. It's just up to us, isn't it? Let's pray. This is your time to respond to God's word. I can look at that list myself and boy, a lot of things on the list jump out at me. I have failed. As a church family member. So I don't know what God's dealing with you with, but this is your time to be sensitive to God's leading. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, that you care about us. And that you show us how to demonstrate care for one another. Father, I pray we take this seriously. It's easy to skim on through this. But my prayer, Father, is that this church will be a family. Will continue to be the family that it is. And as you grow this church, I pray that we will welcome everyone with open, loving, accepting arms. And that we can grow together. So, Father, help us. Help us to look at ourselves and how we can be a part of making this a church family that looks just like we read about. That we love one another, we treat one another the way you expect us to. I thank you, Father, for those men and women here who are already doing that, who are examples for us to follow. who have welcomed me into this church like they have. I pray that you'll encourage them to continue. And I pray for the rest of us that we'll catch up and get on the same page so that we can all treat one another the way you expect us to. And we look forward to seeing your mighty hand at work as we do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.